Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that you are here long before we've come here. Thank you for your heart. Thank you, God, for your desires. And tonight, Lord, we are not here for our own benefit. We're not here for our prosperity. We're not here, Lord, because we want to have a nice time. We are here to please you. We are here, Lord, to hear what is on your heart. We want to, Lord, stand between the living and the dead. We want to, Lord, know you and the power of your resurrection. We want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. And we want to be conformed to the image of your Son. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here tonight to take away every distraction, every weapon that has been formed against us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the breath of God. You are the teacher. You're the one who inspires. Thank you, Lord, for your life in us. And thank you for your abundance in this place, God. Lord, thank you that there's not one person that needs to stand at the back of the row or be second class. Because your blood qualifies and makes us worthy to come and place worth on you. We say, you are worthy, Lord. All the glory, all the honor, all the power belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I'm going to share a word tonight with us that is quite a challenging one, especially for us, I believe, for our nation, for we are as believers are at. We, especially as the charismatic church, have become consumers in many ways. We've become selfish. We've become a people that are really interested just in what we want. And we grow up in that environment. We grow up in that culture where the me and myself is put on the throne. And so many times we approach God in that way. And I trust tonight we'll just make a bit of a shift to realize that there's something, there's a calling on God that he wants to do something. It's not God's like call to do something. He is God and he's got a plan. And he invites you and me, invites us as a group of people here on campus or in your family or in our nation to fulfill a specific role. And we're going to look at one of those areas tonight. There are many other roles. And so I'm going to talk about the priesthood. And the fact that there's actually a place that God wants you to occupy, a spiritual place. You know, I remember being in a nation in the East. One day I got the shock of my life when we were praying for deliverance and this demon started to speak. It was a lady that spoke in a male voice. And this demon asked, what are you doing here? What are you going to, what you have no authority in this place. And then suddenly I realized, oops, you know, I have an authority, not based on myself. We've not come here, but we've come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I remember being in this place and just taking authority and telling this demon to go, and eventually it went. But realizing that in the spirit, there's a place, there's a position God wants every believer to occupy. So if we talk about priesthood, all of us have read through the Old Testament and then we skip through the genealogies, those long lists of he begot, him begot, him begot, him begot, Eliezer begot, Hezbollah, he begot, whatever. And then it goes like all the names. Hezbollah is a terrorist organization, but now all the other names, you know. Hepzibah and all this stuff, and then you go through those names and you skip. And then we get to Ecclesiastes and we skip those ones, and then we go to all the, you know, the sacrifices, slaughter 30,000 bulls and 40,000 this and 60,000 this, and then we skip. I used to just love the New Testament, you know, just the first three Gospels because they're the nicest to read. But the amazing thing is we can never know what has happened on the cross if you don't understand the Old Testament. If you don't understand what God has done through the sacrificial systems and through revealing himself, his plan of salvation through the nation of Israel, not because the nation of Israel was any more special. And if people come to you today and say, oh, you know, you need to pray and you can't actually have church on a Sunday. You must have it on Friday because the Shabbat is on Friday and Saturday. And, you know, and you must have a prayer shawl and you must pray 7 times to this and 8 times to that. And then they just want to go back to the Jewish culture because they think salvation lies in that. No, the Jews were not more special. And especially if you go to Israel today, Israel is amazing spiritual tense place. There's so much history, so much stuff. It will change your life. But when you go to Israel, please don't just visit the Jewish side. There are more Christian Palestinians in Israel than there are Jewish Palestinians because we must love them just as much. So when people want to go and take you back to a ritualistic type of relationship with God based on the law, then just run away, okay? But to understand what has happened in the Old Testament is amazing. And so here in the Old Testament, there we see this priestly order, this lots of stuff that has been happening. And so I'm going to jump in with a definition of priesthood. Priesthood is an authorized minister in sacred things, especially one who offers sacrifices at the altar and acts as a mediator between men and God. Some, you know, in the Latin, the word pontifex is used, which is a bridge builder. Somebody who builds a bridge between two parties, two people, groups or individuals. And yes, specifically between God and between man. It's a worship or someone who brings an offering. And so if we understand this priestly order and we understand and we look at the Old Testament, we see in the Old Testament there was this big word atonement. It meant that priests had to do a lot of rituals because they had to cover people's sins. But now we come to the New Testament and there's this great amazing thing that we suddenly realize that Jesus, when he's in heaven, he doesn't just sit around. He's not sitting around waiting for us to do something or to be more ready or be more perfect. Jesus has got a couple of positions or offices that he occupies, and one of them is a priestly office. So I want us to go to another scripture when we look at the ministry of Jesus, because in Hebrews is probably the best book to read on sacrificial systems and what faith is about. Because if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But you will never understand faith if you've not read the first 10 chapters that talks about the priesthood and the sacrificial systems, the fact that Jesus is the greatest sacrifice ever, that he is our priest and lots of things like that. But in Hebrews chapter 10, before Hebrews chapter 11, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. It's an amazing, very loaded part. It says, when we come to God, when we come into the presence of God, like we did tonight, and we sing and we worship, it's not just about songs, but it's actually about us approaching the presence of God and coming into the Holy of Holies, this place where God's presence manifests. And here it says we must have a boldness to enter into that place, because you know what? There's a lot of things that either going to say, no, you're too shameful, you're too much of a sinner, you're too much of this, you can never, or distractions or voices, or sometimes you're just tired and you think like, oh, you know, I can't approach God. But he says we must have a boldness to enter the Holy of Holies, not based on our own works, not on us, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because God has made a new way, a living way, through his own flesh, through dying on the cross, for us to be able to approach him. And you need a boldness, you need courage to enter into that place. But it says here that what Jesus is doing, he is a high priest over this church, over the house of God. God is actually, when you go and read the book of Hebrews, now you must just stick with me for a while, I'm just giving us some background. He fulfills a new priestly order that you don't find in the Old Testament. It's called an order of the great high priest. It's the according to the order of Melchizedek. It's this big name of somebody that appeared in the Old Testament. Most people say it's Jesus himself. He appeared to Abraham. And then Abraham saw this man coming out of nowhere. He just gave him a tithe. He gave him some offerings, this priest. And that's where the priestly system was actually introduced. It wasn't later on through Moses, but it actually came right there where there was this great high priest, this weird guy, the king of Salem that appeared in the Old Testament. Many people believe it was Jesus himself. And so now in Hebrews, it says that Jesus is a high priest, a great high priest, because as he's in heaven, he's making intercession. He's the mediator of the new covenant. As we're sitting here tonight, Jesus isn't like drinking pineapple drinks. He's simply making intercession. He's standing in an office for the world, for you and me. And he is a high priest over this house, over our lives. And that's why it says, let us draw near to God with a clean conscience. And verse 22 at the end, it says, and our bodies washed with pure water. Listen to this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he says, when we come to God like we did tonight, we worship him. We come with boldness by the blood of Jesus. We say, God, it's not based on our righteousness. It's not because we're good or we've been having a good week. No, we repent and we cleanse ourselves and then we come to God based on what Jesus has done. And then he says, look here, because Christ is the head of this church. Christ is the head of his church. And he says, don't forsake our coming together. Because even tonight, as we're coming together, this isn't just a meeting or an event. This is the house of God. And God looks at us in a specific way. And he says, when we come together, let us love one another. Let us stir each other up for good works. Don't forsake your coming together. You know, I don't understand, and it's probably just me, I don't know. But I don't understand why people skip church for just a social event. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm judging people. I don't know. I don't understand why people would rather watch cricket than come to church. Because do you know what the most amazing thing is? There's something supernatural happening when we come together tonight. Jesus resides as the high priest over this house. Jesus builds himself. We're building God an altar, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We're building God a memorial. We're establishing something in the spirit. So when we come together tonight, it is super spiritual. Because when we worship God, the spiritual atmosphere over this town changes. Something happens when the believers come together. And then scripture says, don't forsake that, our assembling together, because we exhort one another. We encourage each other. We build each other up. We stir each other up for good works. And we say, go for it. Go, let's go out there and let's go change the world. There's something supernaturally happening because there's a priesthood over this house tonight. Are you with me? I want you to think different of church. Church isn't just like, oh, I'm going to go because there's nice chicks there. And they always sit in this block. And the guy says, no, they sit in that block, you know. Now, if you've come for the chicks, then you're in the right place because you've actually come for God. You just don't know it yet, no? Because there are some great ladies in this church, some godly ladies. Can all the ladies say amen? Okay. Just take somebody's garment next to you. If there's a lady sitting next to you, just touch your garment and say, throw material, okay? That's like wedding material, okay? I don't know why guys want to go and find girls in the world when there's like godly girls in the church. Amen? Come on, men, say amen. Okay, at the end of this service, we're going to all let all the single people stand up and we're going to just... I almost say that scripture, the Lord looks to and fro over the earth, finding one single person to connect with another one. I'm only checking, So it's a godly desire to get married. Can I get amen? Okay? Because it's amazing. You're going to die. That's cool. Okay. Because the one thing you recognize when you get married is that you are very selfish. And there's some stuff that needs to die. And God designed it that way to find real hope and real joy and real love. Not as the world gives us. But it says, let's consider one another. Let's come together because there's something supernatural happening. And Jesus facilitates that when we come together. So if people say, no, just, you know, the church isn't anymore for us and structure isn't anymore for us, encourage them to come. Because there's some stuff that happens here, some stuff that happens at that altar when we worship God together. It's called corporate worship. It's called the house of God. God loves it when his children comes together. Because Jesus steps in as the great high priest. He comes to make intercession. He comes to guard over the house of God. It's beautiful, the ministry of Jesus. So Jesus fulfills a certain role. He makes intercession for us day and night. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. Day and night, he accuses you before the throne room of God. He's got access to the throne room of God, and he says, oh, look at Peter again. Oh, look at her. Look at Colossi again. Oh, look at, you know, whatever. She's beautiful. Okay. Yes, go Colossi. Okay. So not just does Jesus do certain stuff as a priest, but God calls us as believers to fulfill a certain priestly role. So let's go quickly to 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 10. I love this scripture. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Sure. When you come together tonight, when I come together, when we fellowship together, when we connect, when we worship God, God says you're like a living stone. But a precious living stone. I love the Bible. It just says, and precious. Chosen by God and precious. You need to know that this is how God sees us when we come together. Chosen and precious. Say chosen and precious. Chosen and precious. You have to believe that is how God sees it. It's not like, you know, just the stuff that it's not rejected. He says it's chosen, a living stone. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. So God sees tonight as his spiritual house. He says that he's building up in each one of us. He's doing some work, but he's building us up as this big house together. He says he builds us up as a living stone. Turn to your neighbor and say, stone, living stone. Okay, some of you enjoy that too much. We weren't talking about drugs that you stoned or any stuff like that. This is like a stone in the wall, okay? Stone in the wall. Okay, so listen to this. Verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. It says there are many people that are disobedient, and they've rejected Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone was the stone on top of the building that held everything together. So as we are living stones, he is the one, the notch, the one up there that holds the whole building together. He's the chief cornerstone. But each one of us have got a contribution to make, because if you build a wall and you leave out 100 bricks, stones, there's a lot of walls. That means that everybody here tonight has got a contribution to make to the body of Christ. Don't for one moment think that, oh, the pastor standing up here, he's more spiritual than somebody sitting down there or than somebody playing up there. We just have different functions and we have different contributions, and that's why you have to do the work of the ministry. That's why God has called you to be a living stone. He says, and many have rejected that living stone because of disobedience. Many people choose not to be part of the house of God, not to be part of this priesthood. And listen to this now in verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Sure. It says you are a holy priesthood. So when we come to God, when you pray during the week, when you stand before God and you're building a personal altar, what is a personal altar? It's the place of meeting with God. It's that holy place. It's that quiet time. It's that time that you spend with him and you say, Jesus, you're my number one, and there's no number two. There's nothing. You actually, through your worship, through your praying, through your fasting, as you do spiritual disciplines, because you're seeking his heart, you're bringing worship to him, it's you're building an altar. But in the same way, there's an altar, there's a memorial before God. If you go and read Revelations, it's actually amazing when you look at the throne room of God. The scripture talks about Revelations as having these bowls of incense, these huge big bowls in front of the throne room of God, and then sometimes they just tip over. And then everything inside flows out before the throne room of God. It's called the prayers of the saints. And then God stretches out his hand. Then God responds to what he sees. And that's why I want to encourage you. Some of you have been praying for people and you don't see them getting saved. Just keep on going. Because what happens, you're building a memorial before God. You're establishing something. And some other time, the scales tip. And then God begins to move. Because his hands is not too short to heal and to touch and deliver. Amen? Come on. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. So, there are four things I quickly want to share with us as ministry of the believer. What is, if you're a priest, if we're part of this priesthood, what is God, what is the ministry of priesthood for us? The first thing is worship unto God. In Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God and renew your mind. He says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, every day when you come in the morning to God, you bring an offering, you bring a sacrifice to God. And what is that offering? It's not the things you do, it's you. You are the living sacrifice. Because why? You come to present yourself. You say, God, I bring you an offering. What is that offering? My life. I want you. Lord, I'm hungry for you. I want to meet with you. I want to know you. You're my everything. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for you. I'm seeking you and I'm loving you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my soul. That's worship. Worship isn't nice songs we sing, tiptoe through the tulips so that God feels good about me. Woo-hoo. You know, it's not that. Okay, we don't sing songs like that, but I was just imagining. Okay, so where's James? I've been telling James for the last 10 years that when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing in the choir and in the worship team. thank you, James. Can all the Jameses say amen, please? You know, I really believe when I just got saved, the teacher that led me to Christ, he could sit in front of a piano and just play any worship music. No secular music, just worship music. He couldn't read one note. He would just sit in front of a piano and he'll start to play any worship songs or praise songs. And I thought, that's the norm. So I got myself a guitar. So I went home, sat at home, going for the weekend home, and I would sit there and I would shandai, 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 and then I'll start to play. And then I feel miserable because I thought my faith isn't good enough because I can't play this thing. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. And I would cry out and I would start to play again. But I just stuck with three chords. Okay, don't laugh too loud. It didn't work because that wasn't my anointing. I mean, so I'll play the harp in the heaven. Okay, some of you are going to play the saw, you know. Some of you are going to just make like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, that's it. You're going to do those things, okay? Background music. But we're all going to have a role in heaven, amen? Where's the people that can't sing? I tell you, you're going to sing in heaven, eh? God is going to give an angel voice. We're going to sing in front. We're going to sing right there in front on our faces. Not that it's going to really matter how you sing because, the focus isn't going to be on us at all. But it says, everything we do is an offering, is a sacrifice to God. And this is where I'm going to challenge some of us. You're a student, you think like your work, your studies is not spiritual. No, it is. It's worship. It's worship because it's something God has given you to minister to Him and to minister to the world, is to bring an offering. So when you study, it is very spiritual. Because your attitude, your character, the way you operate, the place, the position God gives you is a place of ministry. Everything we do is ministry unto God. Just our thankfulness, the fact that we can study. Just our thankfulness, the fact that we can be in a beautiful town like this. We've got so much to be thankful of. It's all, what is in the heart? What is the fire in your heart? Where does it come from? What's happening here? Serving in the church, giving. And this is where your personal altar, that time that you spend with God, is so, so important. Because you're building a holy sanctuary to him. You're building a place where it's just you and Christ. And it's got nothing to do with the church. It's you worshiping unto him. It's you bringing a worship, bringing your life unto him. And say, Jesus, I love you so much. And my heart's desire is just to be with you and to see you come back. Because nothing in this world can satisfy me. Not one person's opinion of you, an opinion of me, not one ministry exploit or great thing in this world can ever compare to the presence of God. But see, the devil keeps us out of that place. The devil wants to keep you away from that place at all costs so that you run around the house of God and you run around the personal altar, but you never get to sit still there where you wash the feet of Jesus and he washes your feet. It's at the table. And that's why in Revelation chapter 3, it says Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. He says, I want to come in. I want to come into your life. I want to come and sit at the table. It's not for unsaved people. It's for saved people. That letter is written to a church. And it says, I'm standing outside the door of your life. Won't you listen? Won't you hear? It came over and over, the same word tonight. Won't you hear the call of God to come? But how long are you going to make busyness an excuse? How long are you going to make distractions or ministry or running around? How long are you going to make that an excuse? Revelation 3:20 says, I want to come and sit in at the table. I want to eat with you and I want you to eat with me. Talks about covenant relationship. Talks about fellowship. Talks about that place where God shares all the mysteries of his heart with you. But God is not going to share stuff with you that he cannot trust you with. He's a jealous God. I don't know if you've seen that. Not a jealous negative, but a jealous of, God is not going to cast his pearls before swine. He's not going to share something with you that's just going to get wasted. And that's why disobedience rejects the chief cornerstone. Because you close your heart and you just say, no, I'm not going to do it God's way. Jesus, I'm happy that you stay outside the door. For many churches, Jesus stands outside. I remember this boy coming one morning after the church, and I felt very discouraged. Well, actually, just before I was going to preach, and this young boy, he was like this, probably six. He walked in here, he came right here, I stood right there. He came to me and said, Uncle, do you know when I walked into that door, I felt a bit discouraged. But I just want to come and tell you, when I looked, I saw a man. I looked at somebody's feet, and I saw that he had bare feet. And he had holes in his feet. And then I looked at his hands and I saw that he had holes in his hand. And then I realized that Jesus is here to welcome me in this church. So I just want to say to you, you're not in charge. He is. See, sometimes we want to take charge of the house of God while Jesus stands at the door. Maybe you've not noticed him tonight, but he's here. He's a high priest. And see, we are here when we come together, when you spend quiet time with him. And some of you need to repent tonight of not spending time in the Word. You have all the excuses in this life of being too busy, but it's a setup from the devil. All he wants is he wants Jesus to stand outside your door so that God doesn't commune with you. He doesn't share with you. Worship unto God. What does your personal altar look like? That's my question tonight. What does your time with God look like? Is it full of distractions and there's no way? Jesus got no access. But tonight we're going to make that right. Tonight we're going to draw near to him. We've already started. There's something that sets us free tonight. The second thing is intercession. Standing in the gap. You see, there was this high priest. There's a little picture of him. Whenever this high priest came into the presence, the Holy of Holies, he always had this thing here on his breast, 12 stones representing 12 tribes. And this is something that must really change in our concept, in our relationship with God. Because when we normally approach him, yeah, or in our quiet time, then we always think of myself. But Jesus said it when his disciples asked him, how do we pray? He said, pray our Father. Stop singing my, me, and I. Sing we, us. Why? Because when God looks at you, He looks at all the people that you represent when you stand in front of Him. It's called intercession. The greatest act. What did Jesus come to do? We call it the incarnation. Jesus came to stand in this world, bridging the gap between man and God, showing God the cleanness of His own hands, and showing the people the heart of God. It's called intercession. Intercession means standing in the gap. It means you come to stand between God and man. And first, you minister to God. But when you minister to God, you represent your family, you represent your campus, you represent your residence, you represent your nation. It's not so much about you praying for your breakthrough. It's about us. That's why when this priest came into the presence of God, he represented the whole Israel, the 12 tribes. Each one was unique, each one was different. But you know what? When you stand before God, you represent a lot of people. And you say, God, have mercy. God, I'm part of a people. I want to minister to you, worship you. Intercession, standing in the gap. You know, many people, Christians, cannot see the state of our nation and the spiritual corruption in our nation. Why? Because we cannot see the spiritual corruption in our own hearts. We don't recognize corruption anymore. Why? Because we've become corrupt. And that's why 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if you want your nation to be healed, start you to repent. If my people who are called by my name would repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I will come in and heal their land. When you seek my face, he says in the middle of that. See, but if your heart does not break, and I'm going to say something a bit controversial now, if your heart does not at this stage break for our nation, you are in trouble. If you don't realize what's going on around us, on our campuses and in our nation, we are in trouble. And the only reason for that is just because our own hearts is corrupt. When I shared this, when God shared this with me this morning, my heart broke. When He shared with me this in the week, I said, God, I realize my own heart is wicked, wicked, because I don't feel anymore. I don't feel for this nation. I'm just trying to play ostrich. But you know, one of the things that the priest did is they wept. Scripture says they went in and they wept between the porch and the altar. When they came before God, they fell on their face and says, God, have mercy on us, because we don't know what's happening and what we're doing. But you're a merciful God. You're a good God. Can somebody say amen? When last have you wept for this nation or for the state of your family or for the state of your heart, sir? But if you don't realize that we are a wicked, perverse generation and we need the intervention from God, you can never do intercession. Because intercession is just all about repenting and throwing yourself at the mercy of God. Realizing that we represent this nation. It's not, oh Lord, the sinners out there. Oh God, cleanse the people out there because they are so lawless. God, we are a hard-necked, a stiff-necked generation. God, we have decided to come against your word, to write out your word out of the tablets of our hearts, to write it out of our nation. See, that's intercession, when you start to come and you stand. And when you stand before God, you represent a group of people. You stand in the gap. Now, I want two big guys. Who's two big guys? Rhino, Vos. Rhino, I saw you here tonight. Rhino. Rhino, come here. Come here. There's somebody giving his hand up. Come here. Who's that guy at the back? Who thinks he's very big? Come here. Yes. Okay, you're big. That's cool. Right now he's leaving for Australia tomorrow, so we must give him this opportunity to shine. Come stand up, yeah. Come, don't be shy. Cheers, then.
Hi, guys.
Good evening.
And this church, the guys are friendly. That's amazing. Okay. So, let's now stand this side of me. And stand over there. And don't flex your muscles. There's not enough place for all three of us when you flex your muscles on this plate. Okay, without moving your feet or your legs, try to touch each other. Okay, just. Okay. What is intercession? Intercession is simply somebody that comes, if this is Jesus, he's strong and mighty. Mighty to save and to deliver. Okay. Iron sharpens iron. Okay. I'm thinking of scriptures I can quote, but I don't know what to. But so, when somebody stands in the gap, when you do intercession, this is what you do. Okay, come here. Just move like this. Move like this. Stand here. And then move a bit closer. Now look each other in the eye and smile. Okay. So, we're forming a holy huddle here tonight. Okay. Don't flex your muscles right now. Just stand like that. Okay. Suddenly I've connected somebody to the heart of God. Why? Because I've locked into his needs and I've shown him the heart of the Father. Thanks, guys. Let's give them a round of applause. So intercession is to be a watchman, is to stand before God and say, God, have mercy. I'm representing this group of people. I'm part of them. Have mercy on our nation. Have mercy on my residents. They don't know what they're doing. And then you bring them together. You're standing in the gap. That's incarnation. That's what Jesus did. Jesus' mission to earth was an intercession, was a bridge-building place of connecting the heart of man and woman with the heart of God again, showing them the heart of the Father. The third thing, and now we must rush, is witnessing. And that is what that scripture said. It says, when the ministry, it says, to proclaim the praises of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are here, not just for individuals, but for nations. We are here to connect nations to God and to connect God to the nations. And that's why the priest would come and do all the sacrifices and all the stuff and then come to God and say, God, have mercy on us. Lord, I sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And then what would happen is God would respond and say, as this guy would say, Nigmar, it is finished. Tetelestai, the work is done. Then he'll be free and he'll walk out. And the whole of Israel would stand outside and the high priest would say, this is what God says. Because once you've been with God in the inner room, you go out to the world and you tell them who God is, to proclaim his praises. Go back to that scripture quickly. We're a spiritual house, a holy nation. Verse 9, 1 Peter 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why are we a priesthood? Not just to have our beautiful times with God, our beautiful time of worship. But once we've been with God, we've seen him, we've come before him, we've pleaded for mercy, we've come to connect with his heart, then we go out to the world and we tell the world what Jesus did. Is to show the world the heart of the Father. Sure. It's called intercession. It's called witnessing. Are you still with me? And that's why God said, Jesus said it a couple of times, but specifically he says, and my house shall be called a house of prayer for the nations. And this is the scary part of the charismatic church especially. We have lost God's heart for the nations. We have lost what is on God's heart is the nations. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God said, this is, if I'm the priest of my house will be known by one thing. A prayer for the people out there that doesn't know me. A heart for the lost. A heart for the nations. And if you want to connect with the heart of God, then you go to a little map. You'll see when you come to visit me at my home, don't all come at the same time. There's not enough space. But come. So, When you go and sit in the guest toilet on the white throne, there's great ministry happening on the white throne because there's a world map on that wall. And I sit there and I spend this time and say, God. And I look at that map and I take my hand and I lay it on the map. I say, God, this nation. Lord, I'm praying for North Korea. I'm praying for Myanmar. I'm praying, Lord, for these nations where there's no open door. But God, your gospel will go forth. Because in Matthew 24, it says, this gospel will be preached in all the nations, all the ethnic groups, and then the end shall come. We advance the coming of Christ when we go and preach the gospel in the nations. When we have a heart for the nation. So I want to challenge you, pray for South Africa, but then get two other nations that you pray for on a regular basis. Stop thinking about yourself. Let 80% of your prayers be about other people and other things. If you want a husband, pray for somebody else for a husband and see how quickly you get a husband. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Whew, that was a tough one. Okay? Stop bugging God with stuff that He said He's already provided for you. Get into the heart of God and see how He changes your life. Discipleship of the nations. The nations. The people of God. And then the last thing is reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5. More than ever, our nation needs reconciliation. But not primarily reconciliation between man and man. Reconciliation between man and man cannot happen before there's first reconciliation between man and God. Otherwise, you will always have a superficial love. You'll have a superficial environment. And then we're going to make people love each other, but they can't because we are humans. We are fallen. We are broken. I cannot love you unless Christ gives me a love. I can try to understand, and I really want to tell you, as Christians, we cannot afford not to go now in this time to go and understand where other people come from. Don't put people in a box and say, oh, you're just jumping up and down because you are like emotional. As Christians, we must love, and that means empathy. That means you walk into somebody else's life and say, hey, even if you know that person is hurt, you say, hey, I want to understand where you come from. Give me an opportunity. All I'm going to do is I'm going to just listen to you. If people are not listened to, do you know what? We're going to be in chaos. Because you know, then what happens is everybody just withdraw to the place of safety where their fears, where they can manifest their fears from. And then it's so easy to shoot from far. But if you're close to somebody and you smell their breath and you see they're just a human and you see the brokenness and you see the hurt and you see the pain and you see the anger and you put your hands around that. I had a moment this week. We did like a SOS, a School of the Supernatural in Tigerberg campus. And it was lekker in Tigerberg, eh? It was great. And this coming week in Thursday, if you know somebody, we're doing Thursday night, one in Bloemfontein. This weekend, we're in Pretoria on the campus. And next week, Monday, we're in Potch campus doing SOS there. Just training people how to hear the voice of God. But so right at the end, we are standing. And we finished. We basically, everybody's starting to go home. And as I'm just standing and I'm thinking like, whoa, this was like, we're really, God did amazing stuff. As I'm standing there, I so loud as I can think or as I can hear, it felt like audibly just inside of my head. God says to me a name. And I'm not going to mention the name, but say Peter. It's an Afrikaans name. Peter. And I'm thinking like, hey, they already switched off the sound. Peter. Now, I don't know people here. I don't know any Peters. So now I'm standing there and I realize, God, something, I don't know what's happening here, but I. So I say, okay, God, I need to find Peter or somebody that's connected to Peter. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, go to Luiso and ask him. So I walk right. Luiso is standing at the back. And I say, we'll go up to Luiso. I say, Luiso, I don't know, but I've got an urgency. Is there a guy called Peter here? I'm using another name now. And Luiso's jaw just dropped. He said, do you know what? There's a guy standing outside this building. Because when you said, keep on praying for the sick, He stood up, he got offended, and he walked outside. Because he's prayed for some people, and some people in his family are so sick and so suffering, and nothing is working. His prayers are not working. So I said, I'm going to call that man. So he calls him, and Peter comes. And I lay my hands on him, and I speak God's word over his life. And do you know what the word was? You're good enough for God. And this man starts to weep for all the stuff that he's been carrying. And I just spent time ministering to him and just praying for him. And I think, God, wow, how many Peters do we miss? Because we get so full of our programs and so full of our schedules and so full of our events. There are some Peters in this place tonight. You want to give up on God. But God notice that you've already left the room a couple of minutes ago. You want to run away. You don't actually want to be here. But I want to tell you, God has got an appointment with your life. Because that's why we live. We live for people to be reconciled to God, to understand the Father, heart of God. And this is what 2 Corinthians says. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So, see, we connect people to the Father's heart. We live in a forgiveness. We live in an environment where that scripture that we read previously tonight, we're priests, we celebrate each other, we stir each other up for good works. We say, hey, you can do it, Dan. That cancer story is that you're doing, the NGO that you've started, go for it. Back him. He's been healed from cancer and now he's starting a ministry to other patients and other people that are suffering from cancer. Wow. Give back hope. Why? Because freely you have received, now freely give. So I want to commend you. Go for it. You're going to change nations because of your humility. That's the place, because blessed are the peacemakers. So once we get into this place of celebration and affirmation, we get to a place where we can announce God's blessing over people. And this is why Jesus says, bless your enemies. We are just as churches and as Christians so insecure. But God wants us to come to a place where we just can say, I bless you. I bless you. Because you realize the authority you have as a minister of reconciliation. Even if you spit at me, even if you swear at me, even if you say the worst things of shofar ever, do you know what? I'm going to love you. I remember sitting there at this little cafeteria there on campus and these four people in the table next to me just going off against the church and against shofar and this big sect and this cult. And all I went to do is just went to sit right in the middle of them. And I said, hey guys, do you know what? God loves you so much. Do you know what? You that's struggling with your mother, he's going to sort that out when you come to him. You that's this, God just showed me, I must pray a blessing over your finances. You that, do you know what? Because all I realized, they're just insecure. It's just the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What church are you from? Shofar. But it's not about church, it's about connecting with the heart of God. See, suddenly you become a reconciler. You become not a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. You walk into a situation and you can declare God's peace. Doesn't matter what storm there is, what's happening around you. Because you've realized what it means to be part of this holy priesthood. You walk into a residence and even if you're the only Christian there, you can speak God's peace. You can bless that place. Because you've come to say, God, I'm ministering to you first. And once I've been there, I come out and I minister to the world. But that means in our hearts, we need to be able to forgive. Because the only thing that makes us bitter and negative is unforgiveness. And the devil will set you up with offense, the one offense after the other. Because he wants that pureness in your heart, the ability to stand there when your enemies sit on the other side of the table and they curse you. to realize God has prepared a place for you. And that place isn't for you to sit down and to just like munch on your chicken nuggets and just smile at them and they can't do anything at you. That place is when you sit at that table and your enemies on the other side, you can say, I bless you. I release you. Because I realize you're just another Saul that needs to become a Paul. You're just another person that needs the love of God. Will you stand with me tonight? Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called sons of God. You see, in the Old Testament, there was a group of people. There was a priesthood. Samuel was called a priest, and there was another group, Eli and his sons. And they burnt what Scripture says, a profane fire before God. God rejected their offering. God rejected what they brought to him because it was birthed in no respect for God, no respect for the things of God. And I know some of you need to leave, but I want you to stand still because this is going to be an opportunity for people to respond to God, okay? Because this is a holy moment. This is why we exist as a church, is when people that are far from God are reconciled to Christ. It's called salvation. If this does not make you excited, then you need to ask God, God, give me a heart for the lost. If you don't think the highlight of every service is when some people come to Christ and reconcile to God, then we need to repent, church. Because then we're not a priesthood. And I want to commend many of you that are praying for people that are unsaved, that are weeping for lost souls, and saying, God, I'm not going to let go of your promises for my family. You know, I prayed 18 years for my dad before he came to salvation. I remember it was here at Kutzenberg Stadium. We organized this event with some Angus. My dad was I was sitting on the stage. He was the first man to stand up in that crowd. The altar call wasn't even finished that Angus made. And he stood up. Oh, and I saw him there. It was like 18 years of just like, Jesus. One moment. Sometimes I stopped praying. Sometimes I just gave up. Because sometimes I didn't think that he could get saved. But when you're fulfilling a priestly role, when you coming to that place where you stand, you're building an altar to God. When your house and your family becomes a holy place, an altar, so that when people walk into your home, they can feel the presence of God. When they walk into your home, they can feel the peace of God. When they walk into your life and you sit there just in class, they can feel the presence of God on your life because you have made a holy sanctuary for Him. And see, that's why we repent of sins. That's why we repent of pornography. Why? Because we allow other stuff to occupy the place of holiness. It's not about the sin. It's just about the altar that we're building. The altar of worship. That's why lustful and perverse sins is so destructive. Why? Because you're creating another altar of intimacy. Where you are throwing all your intimacy and your natural seed for the men, you are throwing it at an altar of perversion, and it brings destruction. While God wants you to have spiritual seed that you can throw in front of the altar, a spiritual altar. See, so the natural things is just such a representation of God. I am your living stone. Use my life as a seed. Use my life, Lord, so that revival can come. And that will mean in the future that some of us are going to die physically because many people, even tonight, as we're having service, around about 40 people would have laid down their lives for the gospel and died physically. And their lives would become a seed, a sweet-smelling aroma before God for revival. So we're not asking you to die for Him physically tonight. But I want to ask you, what occupies the intimacy of your heart, sir? Have you got any place where you worship God? Is there any place where you come and you come together with the other believers because you realize it's not about yourself, but there's a spiritual house being built I am so excited because God is raising up intercessors again, watchmen on the walls that cry out day and night. People that don't need an intercession meeting to say we're going to intercession, but day and night they realize my life has become an intercession. I am an intercessor. My whole life being here, I'm doing an act of intercession. Because you can read that scripture. It says, we're pilgrims. We're just passing through. God has sent me on an assignment to Stellenbosch. To say to Stellenbosch, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. God has sent you to Stellenbosch. God has sent you into that family to do an act of intercession, to do an act of reconciliation, to do an act of worship right there in the middle of that family. To say, God, even if nobody else worships, I will build you a sanctuary. But see, the problem is because our hearts are backslidden and our hearts are hardened, there's no altar. There's no place of worship. God doesn't feel welcome many times. But that's why we're here tonight. That's why we assemble. And God is stirring the waters. God is stirring our hearts. Because there's a sweet-smelling aroma going up. And God says, I'm pleased with you. You're my precious stone. You're my precious stone. You're my precious stone. You're my precious stone. You're a living stone. I'm building you up to be a spiritual house before God. Revival is going to break out over this church when we become a holy nation, seeking the heart of God, and we realize why we're here. We are priests. We are a holy nation called to proclaim the praises of Him. Whether it's in the nation up in China, or whether it is here in Kayamandi, or whether it is here in Manava. When you walk around, you say, God, I'm an intercessor. I'm not from this world. I'm not from this world. You have sent me on an assignment. You have planted me. You have commissioned me. You have appointed me to come to this place in this time to tell the world that Jesus lives. So if you're here tonight, you've lost the fire for God in your life. You have lost that place of intimacy with Him. Then God invites you. Come. Don't go and try and fix it on your own. Just draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Isn't that beautiful about God? Isn't that so amazing about His Father's heart? We are not here to bring judgment to the world. We're here to reveal the Father's heart. That's what Jesus came to do, the Father's heart. Come, orphan. Come, slave. Come, no longer. I want to set you free. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. So if you're here tonight, you either don't have a relationship with that Father, which is a good Father, or you have backslidden in your heart. You will know this by the fact that you never pray. You never pray. When you pray, you just have a little list that you pray through. You need to repent tonight and say, God, I want you to bring a fire back into my heart for your passion. Because it's not about what you did 10 years ago, sir. It's what are you doing now? And are you looking to the world to satisfy you? If God is speaking, the conviction of God is so in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your conviction. Thank you for your fear. Thank you, Lord, for hearts turning back to you. Hearts that cry out day and night, that weep for the state and the condition of our perversion, of our lawlessness, of our society that reject you, and we harden our hearts. If God is speaking to you, sir, I want you to come out. I want you to come and kneel in front. I want you to start to cry out to God. Whether you cry out with your tears, or whether you cry out with your mouth, or whether you cry out with your voice, I don't care. God, break our hearts tonight, God. Break our hearts. We have hardened hearts. We're a nation, a generation, Lord, that are self-obsessed and self. But God, you said we are a holy nation. We are a special priesthood. We are precious before you. God, raise up living stones. Make us living stones, Lord. We are dead. Raise us up, Lord. Bring a fire back to us, Lord, that when we wake up in the morning, it's not about our busy schedules, but it's about spending time with you. When we walk through the day, when we do our work, it's an offering, it's a sacrifice, it's a worship unto you. God, when we speak to our neighbor, it's a worship unto you. It's an opportunity, Father, to show them your love and your empathy, and to show them, Lord, that there's a gap. There's somebody building a bridge. There's somebody that is saying, this is a bridge. Let my life be a bridge for you to connect back to God. If you're full of selfishness, full of pride tonight, it's only humility that can bring us back to the heart of God. I want you to step out from where you are. There's some of you that have relational breakdown, and God is saying to you tonight, He's going to fix it. You've been trying too hard. Just come to Him. Say, God, I'm interceding. There's some of you that must come tonight and say, God, I want to stand in the gap for my family because I haven't done that. I want to stand in the gap for my nation, but give me a burden that's from you. Not a burden that is in performance or in striving or in trying because I'm not so spiritual and fundamental. It's just, God, let my life be a bridge so that people that are in darkness can walk into your marvelous light just as I've walked into your marvelous light tonight. Holy Spirit, We're gonna take a couple of moments, but if you need to come, I want you to come and I want you to start to repenting. We're not going to pray for you tonight. This is just between you and God. If there's no altar, if you cannot bring an altar to God tonight, and God looks down and he says, hey, there's a son that's been staying at my feet. He had all, there's a daughter. She had all the opportunity to run away, but she didn't. Then I want you to come. There's some still more space right in front here. I want you to come out. Just find a place if you want to kneel. I'm going to just take off my jacket. I'm going to ask some facilitators just to come to the front, because if you are here in front and you are kneeling and you need to commit your life to Christ again, then just where you are, I want you just to raise your hand so that we can see who you are. If you're recommitting your life to Christ or you're coming to Christ for the first time, if you're in front, I want you to raise your hand. And I want facilitators just quickly to go to those people. Because we're not going to pray or intercede or do anything before you first recommit your life to Christ. So I want you to quickly, if that's you, if you know tonight your heart is hardened, you are far away from God, you need to walk over that bridge yourself. That bridge is Christ. That door is Christ. There's no other way by which we can go to the Father except then through Jesus Christ. Then tonight I want you to lift up your hand. Maybe you've never done it publicly. Then tonight you need to do it publicly. You need to say, God, I'm walking over this bridge. And I will never return. And there's some more people. I just feel God wants you to respond tonight. But you know, pride keeps us away because, yeah, that's nice. When you say tonight, no, I'm definitely not going to the front. I don't think what people are going to think of me. Then I tell you, you've got pride in your heart, sir. Repent. It's only humility. Humility is so attractive to God. Brokenness is so attractive to God. When a heart that cries out to him and say, God, I feel so worthless. I feel so full of shame. I feel so guilty. How can I pray for a nation? Exactly. You're the next Moses. You're the next Joseph. You're the next Abraham. Idol worshippers. Because all he wants is your heart. When we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So if God is speaking to you, I want you to come quickly. I'm going to give another 3 minutes because there's some people here that need to be in front. If you want to kneel just where you are, that's fine. There isn't a lot of space. But I want you, as you're sitting in front, as you're kneeling, and I'm going to kneel myself because I need to kneel. I want you to just begin to talk to God. Say, God, I'm afraid of building an altar. I'm afraid of intimacy with you. I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid, God, what if I bring profane fire? But no, Lord, I want to be a holy priesthood, a holy nation. I'm part of that based not on myself, but based on the blood of Christ. So Lord, tonight, as we come before you, we cry out to you, God. Birth inside of us a desire to become intercessors, God. Not through our prayer or our fiery prayer, but through our lives, Lord. Lord, build up a priesthood in this nation. Build up a priesthood in this town and on this campus of a group of believers that will cry out to you. Have mercy, God. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on our campus, God. Have mercy on this town, Lord, where there's such a divide between rich and poor. Lord, there's such a divide between races, socioeconomic, between black and white. But God, you started here on this campus, Lord. Start again. Start again with us, God. Start again with the group of people, God, that will cry out to you, not sing nice songs because we know nice songs, but will cry between the porch and the altar. We'll weep because we have the burden of God. We'll cry out to you because your name is not on the lips of our nation, Lord. And we have forsaken you. But God, you have done so many miracles in this nation. And tonight we come, Lord, as a group of people, washed by the blood of Jesus, boldly into your throne. Save us, God. Save us from our wickedness. Save us from our perversion. Save us, Lord, from the lies, Lord. Save us from our ostrich playing. And make us ministers of reconciliation. Raise up, Lord. Raise up a group of people that will stand between you and communities. Cleanse our hearts, cleanse our hands, cleanse our lives, cleanse our minds. I want you to just to bring your own heart to God. Just where you're standing or just where you're sitting. I want you to talk to God right now. Don't hold back. He's waiting for you. Scripture says when you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. Lord, right now, there's some people representing schools here, Lord. We pray for Paul Roos. We pray for Bloemhof. We pray for Stellenbosch. High God, if there's just one guy from Paul Roos that will stand up and cry out to you from high school come Monday. Just one. You just need one, Lord. One intercessor. One that will stand between the living and the dead. One, Lord, that will come to stand in the gap with the burden of the Lord. Not, Lord, because of our own goodness, our own making, but because we've become priests. Oh, Father, rid us. Rid us from the fear of man. Rid us from profane fire. Rid us, Lord. Make us the priestly order, Lord. Make us, Lord, like Zadok in the Old Testament, not like Abiathar, Lord, that was just priests for their own sake, but make us a Zadok priesthood, God. Oh, that will cry out to you, Lord, that will just minister to you, Lord. Take our lives. Take us as a sacrifice. Take our lives as an offering. I want you to pray. I want you to pray just now. Say, God, take my life as an offering. Take my life as a sacrifice. I don't need other people to affirm me or confirm me, but God, we are here because we're seeking your face. So just quickly start to pray out loud. Lord, here we are, God. Oh God, my spirits cry out for Lord for deliverance. Deliver us from this evil age. Deliver us. Make us ambassadors. Make us pilgrims. Make us priests unto our God. Lord, put a breastplate on people's hearts, Lord. Put, Lord, 12 stones on people's breast again, Lord, that they represent their families, Father. Lord, clothe us, Lord, with your burden. Clothe us with your heart, Lord, your yoke that is easy, your burden that is light. I want us all to pray together. Will you just pray after me? Say, Lord, tonight, we are a wicked and a perverse generation. Cleanse our hands. Cleanse our heart. We turn back to you, Father. You are a good, good Father. There's nothing good in us. But here we are, Lord. Your precious stones. Your living stones. Build us up, Lord. To be a holy nation, a holy priesthood. That our small groups will become a holy priesthood. Our coming together will be a place of celebration. Oh, where we stir each other up for good works. Oh, thank you, Lord. Wash us clean by your blood. Wash us clean, Lord. Oh, Lord, we forgive those who have spoken negative things over us. We have spoken negative things over this church. We forgive them, Lord. And we ask that you bless them. And that you keep them. And that you make your face to shine upon them. Bring them salvation, Lord. Let them be saved, God. So many people, God. Even other Christians that have spoken, Lord, negative words over us and over me. I release them. I forgive them. I bless them. Lord, I bless my enemies. I bless those who come against me. I bless those who come against the church. Lord, I bless the atheists. I bless the Muslims. We bless the Hindus. We bless, Lord, those who are apathetic. We bless those who are offended. Bless them, God, and show them your heart and your face. Oh, God, tonight I'm coming to sit at the table. I invite you in, Jesus, and we invite you, Lord, to be a high priest over this house. Lord, not Sears or Mac or Fred or Peter or anybody or Mariette or any small group leader or any zone leader or any district leader is a high priest over this house. They are shepherds, but you are the high priest. Jesus, come and build your house. Come and build your house here in my heart and here in our hearts so that we become a living priesthood, a holy priesthood. I want you just to talk to God. We're going to just sing a worship song. There's some of you that are struggling to forgive, and the Lord is going to give you a special grace to forgive people right now. Some of you need to take in a position just to bless them. There's some people that have done much hurt, but tonight you're going to experience God's love by just releasing and speaking it. There's some people in your life that you're disappointed with, and tonight God is going to give you the ability to speak into their lives. There's some of us that have a deep root of racial anger at the moment, of racial hurt and racial tension. And just say, God, God, heal me so that you can heal our land. Reconcile me in this area of my life. We all have areas. We all have areas. We all have areas. You know, I just week had to repent because there was a homeless person walking across the street, and there was a zebra street, and I didn't stop for the homeless people, for that homeless person. And 50 meters later, I stopped. I said, God, I am so sorry that I discriminate against certain people, because that homeless person has just got such a right to walk across the street than any, whether it's the president or whoever. You don't care because you love that man. You died for him. And I had to repent because I realized I discriminate against certain people. Just want to sometimes get them away because maybe they smelled or maybe whatever. We're going to sing a worship song tonight. If you need healing in your body, I want you just to ask Jesus to heal you. There's really, the presence of God is here. And He's going to heal you right into your soul, right into your body. There's some of you that the physical sickness in your heart is just because of an emotional sickness that you have. And there's some of us that need to, you can't go out of this place without repenting about certain stuff in your life. If you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with masturbation, if you're sleeping around with your girlfriend, stop it. It's replacing an intimacy where you're supposed to build an altar to God. Some of you must build an altar to God tonight by your mouth, by consecrating your mouth, because we speak death over our nation, we speak death over our president, we speak death over races, we speak death over this campus. Let your mouth become an altar of worship. That only, the only thing you can do is speak worship and speak of God. Some of you are so afraid of the fear of man, you cannot testify, you cannot share the testimony. Say, God, I repent. I want to proclaim your praises. We're going to just sing a worship song. I don't want anybody to talk in this place tonight, because I really believe this is like a holy moment. There's some of our hearts, we're at a crossroad. I really believe that as a ministry, we're at a crossroad where we can become watchmen and intercessors again. But it's just something God's going to do. It's not, we're discouraged, we're tired, many of us, because we've been fighting a battle, but God wants to lift us up. Some of you are very discouraged. If you're discouraged, I want you to just to raise your right hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. Father, people that have lost steam, lost, Lord, they're tired of fighting, just strengthen them in their spirits tonight. Heal us, God. Heal us so that our land can be healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Tonight, we're building you a memorial. We're building you an altar.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.